You are listening to the podcast of the epic fantasy novel Lion's Last Kill, and this is Chapter 9, The Deep Forest. I want to thank you for listening to this novel, and please, if you want to learn more about it and about other things that I do, check out www.stormthecastle.com or www.castlefiction.com. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy. In the afternoon of the third day, they came to the border of the deep forest, and they made camp so they could go over their maps and report back to the castle. Up until this point, the traveling had been good, and both the horses and the men had adjusted to the pace. Bosch's back and legs had ceased their aching, and he was just enjoying the ride and the environment. The fresh air had reinvigorated him, and the smells of late summer had turned his mood to one of optimism. He spent a lot of time riding alongside his companions and just conversing about a variety of topics. He had taken a liking to the young sergeant, and the two of them spent a lot of time together. For these 3 days, neither they nor their scouts had seen any sign of Blightbeast or of Breck, but this was expected. They didn't often come into the fields of farmlands because there wasn't much for them there. Everyone knew, though, that this would probably change when they entered the forest. The Forest of Might, or the Deep Forest as it was often called, was a wondrous place. It was one of Bosch's favorite places on this world. It was filled with a wide variety of plant and animal life, and Bosch had mounted many expeditions into it to gather samples and try to understand the biodiversity in it. It was very similar to the rainforests back home, in respect to the amount of wildlife and plant life, but it was not as wet. In terms of the moisture, it was more like a forest. It had a lot of animal life, ranging from the smallest of creatures that were similar to mice, all the way up the food chain to the largest and most dangerous of the creatures, which were the Blightbeast. With some trepidation, they entered the forest, and Bosch sensed the change immediately. The temperature was several degrees lower, and the light was significantly less. So it was darker and colder, but that wasn't all. There was something more. Bosch thought it was just his imagination, but he couldn't shake the feeling that there was something more. This diminishing of sunlight had an immediate effect on everyone's mood, and they all went on high alert. Even the horses got a little jittery. For the first few hours, everyone was on his guard as they trudged through the shaded underbrush. A Blightbeast could be hiding behind any tree or stump. The two major concerns were Blightbeast and Breck. The Blightbeast were solo creatures. They lived alone and hunted alone, but they were large and ferocious, about the size and shape of a hippo. But they were much more agile and much more ferocious. They were well adapted to much of the terrain of this world, omnivorous, and they feasted on both plants and animals. They were both at home in the forests and the swamplands, but they tended to prefer the swamplands. There was more there for them to eat. The thing that made them so dangerous was that they were masters of the fast attack. A Blightbeast was covered with a thistly red fur, almost like that of a porcupine, but the heads were very heavily armored with a bony-like growth. Their preferred technique of hunting down prey was to charge it at full speed and ram it with their bony head, and this would stun the prey if not kill it outright. Then they would gouge it with the long talons on its forepaws. A full-grown Blightbeast had talons that were over 10 inches in length, and one swipe of a forepaw could disembowel a man or a horse easily. Their bodies, although covered with a thick fur, was not well protected, and a well-aimed arrow or spear could stop a Blightbeast. But you had to get your shot at it from the side. If it caught you by surprise and started its charge, arrows and spears deflected off its bony head. So you always had to be on alert and hope that you saw it before it saw you. The Breck posed a different sort of problem. They were a social creature, and always traveled in packs. They were humanoid in shape, intelligent, and they preferred to live in large dens that they carved out of the earth. And they lived in tribes ranging from 10 to several hundred. They carried weapons and had their own language. They were smaller than humans, never growing any taller than 5 feet in height, and they were thin and agile but strong. They were hairless, and their skin was the texture of rubber and the color of ashes. This was probably due to the fact that they spent much of their lives living in their underground dens. Bosch and the group finished their march on the third day without event, but on the fourth day, when they were deep into the forest, things started to change. Bosch was in a reverie, just thinking about Petra, when his thoughts was interrupted by a large crash in the woods to his right. The screaming of a horse and the sound of a clashing steel followed this. Several of the soldiers broke out of the column and rushed their horses into the woods in that direction, and the rest of the column came to a stop. Soldiers ushered the pack horses to the front, and more soldiers formed a circle of protection around them and Bosch. After a pause of several seconds, Bosch heard the confusing sounds of combat, and then the roar of a blight beast. Everyone tensed, and his horse whinnied in fear. The sounds of combat lasted less than a minute, then the forest went quiet, and they all waited anxiously, their eyes glued to the direction the soldiers had ridden off to. The visibility here in the forest was less than 20 feet. The underbrush was too thick, and the overhead canopy eclipsed too much light. They waited several more minutes, and as Varga rounded up several more soldiers to go and investigate, the soldiers that had initially responded reappeared amidst the trees. One of them pulled his horse up alongside Varga and Bosch. It was a blight beast, caught Grizzum by surprise. We lost him and his horse. Varga clenched his teeth. They had already lost a man, and they really hadn't gone anywhere yet. The danger hadn't even begun. Varga barked some orders. Unpack one of the horses and strap Grizzum's body to it. Then choose a man and send him back to the castle with the body. He turned to the young Sergeant Mazer and barked an order. I want all the scouts to travel in twos. It will decrease the main group here, but so be it. I don't want another senseless loss. The group continued on their trek through the forest, but everything had changed now that first blood had spilled. Everything became more real. This wasn't an adventure anymore. It was a deadly serious quest. They completed the third day without any more incidents. Bosch had attempted to work with Babbage on the machine. There were always little things that he could go over, even if he had gone over them 100 times before. It would be nice, he thought, to be able to solve the problem with the machine right here and right now. Then they could forget about this journey to the Oracle, and that would save lives. But it was to no avail. He came up with nothing. He couldn't really concentrate as well as he'd like to. He was always on the watch for danger. His ears and his eyes were a constant distraction to him. At the end of the fourth day, they got word from the Speakstone that the scouting party they had dispatched from the castle the day before them had reached a suitable place at the base of Mount Hoch. That party had reported that the day before, in the swamps just east of Hoch, they had a skirmish with a small group of Freck. They believed they had killed them all without suffering any human casualties, but they did lose a horse. They spent half the day backtracking to the west so they could get back into range of the Speakstone, and they said that they would continue on to Mount Hoch in an arc that carried them about 3 miles further to the south. They recommended that Varga's party do the same. The fact that they weren't sure they had gotten all of the Breck was a bad indicator for Varga. If one of the Breck escaped, it would get word to its den that there were humans in their land, and they would mount a war party to investigate and dispatch them. If it was a large den, that could mean trouble. And within a couple of days, they would be passing just south of the spot where the skirmish had occurred. Early in the march on the fifth day, the terrain changed, and over the course of less than a mile, the trees started to thin, and the ground got softer. Within an hour, they were in the outskirts of the swamp. They had made it through the dark forest with only one incident, and now Bosch was sure they wouldn't have that same luck in the swamps. They had traveled about two-thirds of the distance to Mount Hoch, and it would take them about 2 full days to travel through the swamps. The terrain here was much more treacherous. They turned their small convoy in a southerly direction and traveled about 3 miles along the outskirts of the swamp before turning east toward Hoch. They hoped this would bring them back in line with the scouting party and out of any danger with the Breck. This is the end of chapter 9.